tip can always be bigger.
The bit that sort of the public sees.
Exactly. The showstopper is the tip.
This car is 9 degrees of beans.
I have a controversial take.
Don't even say it. No, don't speak. No. Hello, and welcome back to the 85th Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast with myself, Edwin, Will to my left, Benjamin to behind the camera.
Hello.
And this time, a special guest. Not in the form of a human.
Him.
But behind us, if you're an audio listener, is sitting the big M.
The big yellow guy.
We will get onto that very short. Well, actually, you know what? Let's get straight into it. The beginning of all of these podcasts, we answer a question with a car's rule or ruin this week. We haven't actually done a podcast in maybe 2 weeks because we've been waiting for Barbados Ben to get back from his holiday. Bloody selfish guy.
I know.
And then we have to film two podcasts tonight, so the next podcast will
and
also...
And why is that?
Because I'm going away on holiday.
Wow.
To Barbados,
no. No, to Disney World. Will... Let's get into it. What is
Big
it?
Big M's here. It's actually been here for about a week now.
Has it?
Well, almost a week.
You're in Barbados.
You missed out because you were signing up in Barbados on the private jet.
Actually a tough one
on the PJ.
Yeah, it was. You missed out. We'll get to it. But you missed out on a solid week of things happening. But yeah, it came last Tuesday ahead of schedule, thanks to the RS6. The RS6 failed on the day, so we had to go and send, when we were at Dunsfold, we hired out the whole Top Gear track. RS6 on the day said, you know what? Sod your day. Sod all the money you've spent. I'm ruining it. So then we had to get this expedited. Mm-hmm. Expedited? Have it picked up earlier than I wanted and brought to the Top Gear track, which to be fair was very cool.
It was very cool.
It was a bit nerve-wracking because I hadn't heard this car start. I knew it ran. I'd been told it had run and it'd been serviced and whatever else, but I'd never heard it run. And I had no idea what it was going to drive like, but it came, we put it in the middle of the runway at Dunsfold. Unloaded it, saw it for the first time since the auction. It was about a month afterwards, I think, and went for a first drive.
It was quite cool.
It was quite cool. It didn't go quite... It went smoothly in the way that, you know, nothing really went wrong. I did find out that morning from the storage company, they went, just so you know, the battery is like really dead, like so dead. We didn't even bother putting it on a trickle charger. So like, yeah.
And they said, once you turn it off, even if you've driven it for a while, it's dead again.
It's dead.
You can't start it again. So you need to jump it every single time you turn it off. And that went well.
So I think we had to, because again, we were doing little bits of filming here and there. And again, I still don't know the mechanical, you know, how well this car is. So I was like, okay, we're turning it off and on and jump starting it all the time. And there's a couple of risks. Apparently, I've heard the Murcielagos. Apparently you can jump start them, but there's people have said in line, don't do that. You'll frazzle your instrument cross cluster and they're about $6,000. And that's probably if you can find one. So I was like, okay. And we had to bump start it.
We killed
two power packs trying to jump start this a few times because the connection wasn't too good. And we had to get it started because we had to raise the nose in order to get it back on the trailer in order to get it back here.
So the car was running. We were done with filming for the day. So we said to Ali, who does transport for us, do you want to back it up onto the trailer while it's still running? Because if we turn it off, we have no jump packs. It's not going to work. And he was like, yeah, no, let's do it. We'll get it on in one. He got in the car, put it in reverse, installed it.
Yeah, so I just went, oh, for God's sake.
And so we immediately tried a load of different stuff to get it to start. And we were like, no, it's fine. We'll just push it onto the trailer. It was too low to go on the trailer. It needed a nose lift to come up. Ben, how do you get the nose lift up?
Electrics.
Yeah, with the engine running. So with five people, we bump started.
Bump started surprisingly well.
Yeah.
It was actually quite good. And then, yeah, reversed it onto the trailer. And also, even that, it's a big car.
Yeah.
And it was an enclosed trailer. Ali bought his enclosed one. And, you know, that's a fairly big trailer, but it is a squeeze in there. And it only really fits with the mirrors folded in. And for whatever reason, my car has no rear view mirror. So
that
I removed
sense.
That many years ago. So I was going purely off of Ali's instruction. But we got it on, brought it back to the unit. It's been here since. So now I'm sort of working through bits to try and get it back on
but
the road.
But it is here.
But it is it here, is. I honestly can't stop looking. I know the Glado was cool, but it is completely out of my mind now.
Now
we had a Glado on the day as well.
Yes.
And it was...
It didn't.
It did nothing for me. Obviously, it's a cool car to see, and it is a part of my car history now. But this...
No, this was... Even now, I'm not trying to be mean to Tom from Horsepower Hunters, because he did bring his car.
Yeah.
He brought his Aventador, and Ben, that's why Ben's very sad. Because there was an Aventador on the Top Gear track and Ben was not there for it. But even in comparison to the Aventador, this had the vibe.
And the Aventador's got presence and it sounds good, but there's something about
this.
I don't think it ever will sink in.
When was the most emotional?
The first time. There was too many other people around us to shed a tear.
That's what I sent everyone else away. Because I said, this needs to be just Will. You know what? I got quite emotional when we were on our first drive.
It was quite...
It was really surreal.
It was a bit weird. Because again, also because it got rushed a bit. This one's been weird because this car, I've waited a little while as well. Like it's waited however many years to get to actually doing this. It being well ahead of schedule. And then having that like month-long period of like...
Nothing.
A what? There were so many little issues. I was like, I kept getting pushed back. A week, a few days, another week, another few days. But then finally, it's here. So yeah, it has been, there's been a, on my way home in the 600 pound Alfa Romeo, I would drive home and I'd be like, I have a Mercy. It's on finance, trust me. It's finance to the tits. But there is a Mercy Lago in the TDC unit.
Also, for anybody that's worried that we're going to lose our way, Earlier on, it was in the car park. There was £600 Alfa Romeo, Lamborghini Murcielago, Volkswagen Lupo.
Yes.
Don't worry. We're not changing.
Also, just can't afford anymore.
Yeah.
That's kind of it, really, to be fair. That's kind of maxed out. But yeah, mad surreal. I'm less scared of this car than the Gallardo.
You know what? I kind of hear that even us working on it, when we worked on the Gallardo, I was scared of it. But now that I know that this car's this is your car. Yeah. It's not a stepping stone. This is your car now.
It's also confirmed to me that, well, I knew the choice would be right because it is what it is. But I thought, am I going to be worried about doing anything touching it? But because it's a little, again, it's worth way more money. So, and everything on it costs more money, but the car is rougher. Whereas the Gallardo was like, you got this immaculate service history. The front end was PPF. The paint was immaculate. So I was always a little bit, even though I didn't want to be, I was always a little bit like, oh, is it going to get a stone chip? Isn't this going to happen? Whereas with this, not that I'm going to abuse it, but I feel a bit more, I've already had all the fuses out having a look at it because my bat wings didn't go down on day one. That was interesting.
Had the
battery. So we had to do, on basically day one of it being in the unit, we did the battery, which is in the wheel well. That's wheel off, arch liner out, blah, blah, blah. Had it quickly up on the lift, changed the tires.
Also, this car, it came to the unit and it went on jack stands within 20 minutes of arriving in the unit. That's also quite nicely TDC.
Yeah. But no, it's very cool. And I've ordered a load of bits for it to get it up and running. We just had a really nice weekend of weather. And I just want to drive the thing. It has a misfire. I laughed quite a lot on the day because I started it. And I get a check engine code every single time I start it. And it just said, check engine L. Okay. And I looked at it. I was like, nah. Like, what does that mean? And it turns out it's left and right bank. But yeah, I just get check engine L.
And the coil packs, they're okay.
Coil packs is what I'm going to need to do. Yeah. I did a bit of research.
Do you know the number yet?
I do know the number.
I told him earlier. Ben guessed it and he said, oh, is it about £1,200 like for the full set? And I said, I'd love it if that was for one.
Mental.
It turns out, because this is a 2001 to like 2004, I want to say. They're very early Lamborghini. They're basically like Diablo stuff. After that, they got lots of Audi bits. And I have an O2, and a coil pack is £1,500 each for this car. But fortunately, there's some feather pluckers on the internet who know, and I can put a Kia V6 coil pack in it.
Which is great.
Which I'm sure there's going to be people out there going, oh, you can't do that. But there's plenty of people who can, and they're better. And I'm sorry, I put it into Eurospares, which is where you get most of the like, Lamborghini parts from online. And I think the final bill for all of those coil packs was £19,500. That's before, imagine going to Lamborghini and saying, now can you fit them?
Yeah.
Now add spark plugs and anything else they might find along the way. Like you 25 coming up grand on a 25 grand service.
Yeah.
Sorry.
For what we do in like in between takes on another car, in between like filming something, I'll run in and go do that on an MX-5 in like 30 seconds.
And then a little bit of research, and there's a few, Andy, I can't remember his surname, but Andy who messaged me as well from being in the Murcielago WhatsApp group, who had identical car to this basically, and that was at Furlong as well when this car was there. And he's told me so many little tips and tricks that's like, if this happens, don't worry, you can do this. Don't worry, you can do this.
Yeah.
So there are lots of people who've owned these cars, not on a shoestring as such, but not everyone is a billionaire with a collection that wants to put no miles on it. They want to use it and not have to spend £20,000 every time you need to fix it. So yeah,
It's a cool car, man.
It is. It's incredibly cool. Ben, you saw it for the first time today.
Cool.
Straight off the PJ.
Yeah, literally off the jet, straight over here. So it's pretty normal to
bring the Lambo.
Yeah. No, I to be
middle
fair,
of the day, Ben. Not very subtle.
The Lamborghini, then, Master. No, I like it. It's I thought on the way over here this morning, oh, will it be there today? And then I fully forgot it existed for some reason. I walked in and I didn't expect to see it. But yeah, it's cool. It's just cooler.
Do you know what? I know that we had our first drive, but it's not, when it's not on the road, it doesn't feel as real, if that makes sense. I'm excited for the first road drive.
Yeah, I haven't.
That's when that feels proper.
Also, on the runway, it had, I don't think any of this will be out yet in terms of video, but the tyres were absolutely shot.
Like, yes.
Shot. They're actually worse than I thought they were when I looked at them afterwards, which is good to know after big going down a runway. I was like, I don't want to give it too many beans because I don't know if it's misfiring or it's lean or whatever, and I blow up an engine on day one.
Tough.
I don't know what to do about that. So, but then we got a little pull in there.
Oh, there was one little bit of noise. And then when we got out, the people on the side of the runway who are filming were like, that's the most ridiculous sound today. Like,
it sounds good.
It sounds so good. And there's pipes coming.
Pipes coming. I've ordered some FabSpeed X pipe. This already has FabSpeed Sports Cats, which is why it's surprisingly loud.
It's very loud.
For a car with just cats.
Not Gallardo loud.
No.
But it is loud.
But the cold start's ridiculously loud. Yeah. But yeah. But it just misfires like shit, but it pops and bangs and crackles. And
the X pipe will make it sound more like a 640.
More like a sort of that high pitch. The noise that everyone is thinking of when they hear Murcielago, that's more what it'll be like. But it'll be more of the sort of, you know, kind of old school Lamborghini, but high pitch. But that, and the tips will be bigger. I don't know if you can see it if you're on video. The tips are okay. They're my favorite ones because they're bang in the middle, but they'll be way bigger than
that. Tip can always be bigger.
Tips always needs to be bigger.
The shaft on the exhaust. You leave that. Nobody needs extra shaft.
The bit that sort of the public sees.
Exactly. The showstopper is the tip. It's what the eye gets drawn to immediately.
Exhaust has been... I've added a lots of maintenance bits. I think that's also what I like about this so far is the Gallardo came and I was scared to touch it. So I was like, I didn't want to do anything. Whereas on this, there's lots of little bits I need to do. So
it keeps
me busy for a little while to go, okay, now I need to do these little bits.
Do the radio.
Do the radio. Yeah. There's like a little coolant pipe I need to do. There's the coil packs. I need to do a door strut.
Also, this is like how we talk about our dailies. But it's like, just picked up a 172. Just need to do a bonnet strut. Meanwhile, the Murcielago.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. But I quite like the idea of doing most of it myself. I do have no record of a clutch, which is a little bit worrying.
No, you said
17,000 miles.
You said you'd consider doing it with us.
Possibly. Taylor was in here the other day and he was like, it would be great content. I was like, yeah, it would be.
I want to do it.
It would be.
I really want to do it.
You do need a massive frame. Like, if you look at how they do it in like the factory or even just at a specialist, you don't do it with an engine crane because an engine crane can't deal with it.
Yeah.
It's not right. So you have to have this big like A-frame type thing. And you bring the engine, the box out in one. So it makes the Gallardo look like running a Micra in comparison. Everything I look at, I'm like, okay. But it's only really some of those big jobs that are bad. And they're only like every...
You need to do them every
30,000 miles or something. So, and valve clearances.
That's a tough one.
I don't know about that.
That's going to be a tough one.
Some people say 15K. Some people say 50. I'm at 17.
choose 50.
Yeah, 50 sounds good to me.
This is cool.
So...
I'm very happy for you, William. This is very cool.
Me too. It is. Again, like we said before, I'm proud. I know it's easy to see that it looks like this is a very fun job, and it is. Don't get us wrong. But bear in mind, 2-3 years ago, neither of us had a job.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing to us. And thank you for listening. You literally, it's you listening and watching that makes any of this possible. And we promise we're not going to stop doing dumb stuff as long as you're here.
Also, the creamers are probably the most supportive for stuff like this.
You are.
I was super worried about not saying anything, but I almost considered just buying it and people are going to see it, but buying it and never doing anything to do with it because I'm aware that it is a disgusting amount of money and it is, you know, it's basically an entire house.
Yeah.
I don't own a house. I don't own a house, but I do have that. And that is where basically all my money goes. But everyone who's listened to the podcast and has said, it's like, sod those people. It's you're only here once, so you might as well do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it might get repossessed in 6 months. I don't know. I'll figure it out when I get to it. But yeah, it is a ridiculous thing.
And now,
attention all passengers. passengers, the Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Just a Ferrari.
Hey man, it'll happen. It'll happen when one presents itself.
When someone crashes one.
Yes. Yeah, if someone could crash one, that'd be great. So are you saying it's a rule?
It's a big rule. There's little reasons to ruin in there for sure, but that nothing could overrule the fact that it's here.
It's here.
And present.
He is finally with us. And you'll see him many more times.
Will owes every single creamer a handshake whenever you
meet. I thought that was going a different way.
Yeah. A few of the creamers went, uh-oh.
Oh. And then the guy looking at your feet, Ben, went, uh-oh. Oh,
same shoes. I'm still wearing them 6 months later.
A handshake, every single one. Yes. Well, the last of the Glado, I offered everyone a ride in it. So that's actually a bit
you still owe them, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a lot more difficult now.
Speak to our
now,
boy, Jay.
Which celebrity is going to buy this off you? Oh, if you ended up selling it.
JK, brother, if you're watching, I'm not selling.
He's not.
But, you know, at the right price,
but who would you
I
like
won't
it to
sell.
Be? If it wasn't going to be JK, who would you
be
like
cool
it?
A cool Murcielago related... I don't know. JK's pretty cool.
I think it'd be cool to be like really left field, like Dame Judi Dench or something.
Just James Blunt.
Yeah. Just completely random.
James Blunt. Alan Carr.
I can imagine that.
Alan Carr driving around in Murcielago. Ideally, I'd never sell it.
There you go.
That is the idea.
The next owner of the Murcielago is you. Still.
It's my child, hopefully. If I ever have a child, this is where this goes. I will own it for as long as I can afford it, basically.
Benjamin. Tell us about your week in Barbados, mate.
Man, rule. Didn't have to do any car stuff.
You
No, I actually
little...
sort of did miss cars. And there is a little ruin, which is the fact that I missed the Top Gear track.
Yes.
And that was, do you know what? It was tough as it was, but it made it more tough that there was like multiple weeks leading up to my holiday of like trying to get stuff sorted out so I could go away. And then, and we didn't do much cool stuff. We do cool stuff every day. But you know what I mean? Like there was a Top Gear test track.
Yeah.
And then I get a message saying, Top Gear test track, you're missing it. I was like, great. And then, but then you said, there won't be an event store though, so it's fine. It's broken. I was like, yes. And then I got a phone call on the day and I was just about to go to the beach. And there was an event store at the track. So a tough one for me. I
video called Ben from inside of an event store. And the moment I picked up, I could see his beady little eyes looking at the background. And I saw defeat wash over him and sadness through his sunglasses.
It felt quite evil.
Yeah,
to do that, but it was kind of worth it.
And then I was literally about to go to the beach and I got in the back of the car and my girlfriend was like, what are you doing? I was just the entire journey just scrolling event stores, or like just watching videos of them shooting flames.
You were just staring out the window, looking, it's like, where do you want to be?
Home.
Ben's at the beach just listening out, see if you can hear a downshift in the distance.
And it's sad because again, Tom would have let you drive it. He literally said, it's Dunsfold, so like it's, you know, it's not the road.
Ben, your time will come.
Good things come to those who are called Ben.
Well, I'll buy my own one at some point, surely.
Well, you're sure, yeah. Well, once you know, buy out Bristol City Council.
Yeah, so I actually drive it into the centre of the city.
Yeah, then you could abolish Ulez in your event store.
I'll buy one to up Will, so he's got the Murcielago, I'll get the event store. And then Evan will get the Reventon or something.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I'll get the Cyan.
So overall, it's a rule?
It's a rule. I haven't done much car stuff, anything. S2000.
Oh, well, that's long gone.
Oh, I mean, it's been
weeks. For sale months ago.
No, it's just sat there.
No, it's still there.
For sale. Yeah.
We've got roughly a month from the filming to get that sold. Before
summer solstice is coming.
Before our medieval peasant.
It will get
bet.
Sold. I just need to
get solved.
No, this one is just an L, an official L.
Yeah.
End of the year is just painting.
It's just the timing. It's just the, by calling it the summer solstice.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I'm not going, by dawn at the summer solstice, look
Hark,
east.
The S2000 leaves.
I have to basically clean it and then take photos of it.
Oh, so cool. So, you know, you'd have been able to do that weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
I've been away, man.
Okay.
I've been chilling.
Ben's been waiting for us to offer to do it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not waiting for that at all. I will do it. I need
Ben's
to do
like,
that.
So we'll do like a video on that.
Like surely Robin
selling,
will come in.
Selling
like how
car.
Much do you think Robin's worth?
I took the wheels off. I think I mentioned it before, but it looks...
You don't like it?
I don't. Well, it looks normal, but it's now lowered and it's on standard wheels.
Raise it up.
Nah, I'll just sell it as it
that's,
is.
That's more work for you to
well,
do.
But it looks good. Let's buy it.
So overall rule though?
Yeah, rule. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, sound less convincing.
Do you know what? No reason to ruin.
Perfect. All right. I'm going to say it's a rule as well. I think we got three
That's
rules
three
all
big
around.
Rules.
First things first, the Tuscan. I think I literally have it on our list. Shout out the TVR Tuscan. Last week,
It's listening going, thanks, man.
All right, cheers, man. I'm going to break in a minute. On Monday last week, we went to Johnny Smith. That podcast that should be out by now.
Yeah, it will be.
The podcast with Johnny Smith. I drove. I had no working cars because of the Clio, which, let's start with that little aside. Clio set on fire.
Yes, it did, yeah.
We were in here working on a car. I went off to go and get some parts for the RS6, came back, walked through the door, started working on the RS6. Will happened to go out the door, thankfully, maybe a minute later. And then I heard Will come back and went, Edwin, your car's on fire, by the way. And I ran outside thinking this is a bit of a joke. No, there was smoke pouring out the bonnet of the Clio.
I thought it was going to be steam. And then I was like, no, that is
it's fire. Smoke. Yeah. Open the bonnet, the heat, what do you call it? The fabric one on the back of the engine bay. The clips had either melted or come off or something and fallen onto the manifold and fully set fire. And took out my brake master cylinder, some coil pack leads and the coil pack itself. So nothing too bad, but thankfully we found it. Oh, and it bubbled my paint on the bonnet, which is very upsetting. But thankfully, literally the day before, you know those fire sticks that we tested for weird tools? I was like, I'm going to buy one of those. Yeah, up there. I'm going to buy one for the Clio, one for the Tuscan. After old Tuscan Ted got his... not Tuscan Ted. Steve, sorry. Got his Tuscan burnt down. And I happened to have them both in the footwell of the Clio. And Will grabbed it. Put the fire out, all good.
Struggled in the same way that I did when we filmed the video.
It's quite funny.
Quite a simple thing to use. I looked at it and started just pulling on it.
And then the fire went out.
Yeah. So, but it's a really good. I might.
Yes, I think they're worth having. They're small. They're not very cheap. They are quite expensive, but worthwhile. It literally put the fire out.
Also, very fortunate. We happened to have the doors open. We have the doors closed at the moment. Because we have AC.
Oh, crazy.
And it's very, very hot at the moment.
Big flex.
But luckily, the doors were open. Otherwise, that might have just gone that would have for gone a up. While we, and we wouldn't have heard it.
We would have heard crackling and gone, well, it was Trevor setting fire to outside. Gone outside and found a smouldering wreckage of a Clio. So because of that, my only working car was I had to go and get the, and also because we were filming it, I went and got the TVR from storage, filled the boot with all the podcast gear. There'll be an image. Didn't bat an eye. Drove it up to Peterborough. And further, the next day, took it to Dunsfold, smashed its head in all day.
Like big time smashes.
All day, I was doing pulls up the main, the runway. I was doing drifts. I was doing skids. I was doing laps as quick as I could. Got in the car, drove home. This weekend, put another 300-400 miles on it, driving it for filming. I've put 2,500 miles on that car. It just doesn't care. I love it. I love that car to bits. It's so, so good.
We had some cool cars at Dunsfold at the Top Gear track, and the TVR probably stood out the most.
So it sounded
in terms of the way it looked, the way it sounded, and just going out in it. I mean, you were driving it considerably harder than most than other people were driving their cars. Like, there was a 5-litre Gallardo there, we had a Cayman GT4, we had the Aventador, we had a V8 R8, so it was a pretty special lineup. And the TVR was just the wildest thing there.
It was so good. I adore that car, and I'm impressed. This is how I know I like it. And you don't know this yet. I'm not going to modify that car anymore.
Really?
I'm leaving that car as it is because it is so good as it is. I don't want to ruin it by making it low and, you know, messing with the ride height. The ride height is not that nice, but the way it drives is comfy. I drive it like 300-400 miles. No issue. Like, my back's fine. It's all good.
The spacers? But maybe. The spacers though were...
But spacers without lows doesn't work.
But didn't you say that the spacers are for driving characteristics?
The 3mm ones at the front I will do, but there are bigger 25, like 15 or 20mm you could do with extended studs. I won't do that. Just leave that. I'm gonna leave that car standard.
I don't believe you.
It's so good. No, I'll do little bits.
Yeah.
Also, you might as well just, if it ain't broke, well, you know, like not broken, but it's working as it is in terms of you like it, and then you'd only change it until you go, okay, I want it to feel different, so I'm going to change it.
Because also, we've mentioned it maybe before, we've got a Nürburgring trip as a whole collective in July.
We do.
Then, you know, you're taking...
I can't wait to walk there. It was so exciting.
So I was thinking I might take the TVR. After a couple laps on Top Gear, it's sketchy. I'd crash.
Yeah.
I'd go too hard. Whereas the M3, which I got back last week, that's also part of my rule, came back from Hack Engineering. That car's just so good. It works and drives and turns and... does everything perfect.
That's Ring Car.
I've got some cool mods on that. You will see that in an upcoming 2DC CSL kits going on. It's getting color match green. And there might even be some cream flavored mods that eat the big brakes. They're getting painted green. That's cool. That sounded like the word green.
I was going to say green.
Cream. That's the name of the podcast we're on. So for that reason, it's rule for me. I was about to say cream for me. No,
it's green for me.
It's like green but blue. Three rules all around.
Statistically.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Whoever's doing stats, can you tell us the last time that was, please? Thank you.
Whoever's doing stats, can you tell us how many rules that is between us today?
Exactly.
I could be upwards of three.
It's at least one.
Try know that.
Just do your own, it'd be fine. Before we carry on, before we get into our anecdotes, we are sponsored by Curve Vertical this week. Shout out to Curve Vertical. They've been sponsoring the podcast recently. We have been buying, I don't know if it's going to be out yet. We've been looking for a golf R.
We have.
It won't be out.
Okay.
It'll be out next week.
Okay, so Curve Vertical have challenged us again to buy one of the dodgy cars in the UK, and we've chosen a golf R to try and find. It's been tough. It's been tough.
We should have learned from Ben's GTD.
We thought
Mark 7 golfs are a... They really are a cesspit of a hive of scum and villainy.
We thought Ben's GTD was bad. The amount we've run, I'd say upwards of 50 cover reports this week. I would say three. There are three cars that have been good. And the issue is all of the three good ones we haven't bought.
Because they've either been too much money or there's just been something else. It's very tough.
If you want a Golf R, I'm sorry. That's all I'll say. Good luck. Do a car vertical check. It's your best shot at uncovering the stones that are
from
needed.
Underneath.
That's the word. That's what Car Vertical said. You can use our wording. We said, sure, I'll butcher that. But as always, get 20% off if you use our code CREAM. Shout out Car Vertical. See you next week.
Shall we talk about things that are on the list of stuff?
I've been waiting to talk about things and stuff all week.
We've just been, Ben's just been holding us up. It just holds us
crazy.
Back. That means we can't put the lights on either because he takes so much of our money.
Well, who do you think paid for the private jet to Barbados?
We were just in here in the dark.
It was the creamers.
For a week.
The creamers paid for you to go on holiday.
That's why we didn't put a podcast out, because we can't even afford the internet.
He took it with him.
Because Ben kept calling us and saying, can I get the steak? He said, go on then.
I saw cars in Barbados.
What did you see? No way.
The movie. And was it done?
No, I didn't watch the movie.
You did watch Johnny English though.
What a fantastic film. Edwin, what was your fact you told me about?
OYO2USH, that's the plate on the DVD.
I said I watched Johnny English on the plane, and Edwin just responded with nothing apart from just a code, and apparently that is the plate on one of the cars.
Yep.
Great film.
I've never seen
great
it.
Film.
You've never seen it?
It's actually really good.
I've seen Johnny English. I've seen bits and bobs.
First one's the best one.
Which one's got the Rolls Royce?
That's
Rolls
Royce? Second or third?
I remember him promoting it on Top Gear.
Yeah.
They had it in the studio.
No, they're all good, but the first one is.
First one is
good.
It's absolutely good. Incredible.
Right, I might give it a whiz.
But so, there were cars.
Sorry, yeah.
Do you know what there were many of? No, there weren't. I didn't see anything big. Like, didn't see anything that would have really got a man really excited. But I did see many Suzuki Swift Sports that are just on loads of wheels.
Okay.
Everywhere.
All right.
All generations.
Generation. Your generation.
The generation I had. The
newer one?
Not the newest, but the newer one.
Like a 2021?
No, like the 2015 one. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Those on wheels, and then just loads of, mostly Japanese cars. I saw an Evo.
Ooh.
I saw an Evo 7 and an Evo 5.
Lovely. Oh, why did we get photos of that?
Because
did you not take a single photo of any car you saw?
I did. But we'll get onto that.
Okay. Oh, you were there. I think I don't know how big Barbados is. I feel like an American.
Not very.
Like an American talking about this. We're like, hey man, you were there when Rally Barbados was done. It must have been nearby. Maybe it was nearby. I don't know.
You could drive from one side of the island to the other in like
10 minutes.
An hour.
Oh.
That's what they're doing in Rally Barbados.
I didn't see any
Ben just
cars.
Came up with the concept for it.
What if we drive from one point to another and we do it on off-road?
And then we time it.
It's like called Rally Barbados.
Yeah.
Because our Evo 5, that's a secret Evo 5, had a sibling that was built at the same time, and that car was built for Rally Barbados.
Yeah. So, you know, none of you heard that. You don't know that about
that's
Evo
a secret
5.
Car.
You've never heard about that. Which actually I got update on. Well, we'll tell the creamers. The creamers are loyal. They know. It's getting rust work done. The reason you haven't seen anything is car had to go away for rust. It's been now a year and a bit since it went to rust, but there's progress, Ben. It's getting chopped up right now.
I forget we had that car quite regularly. Yeah. Rally Barbados was this weekend, just been. But I left on Saturday, so I would have I would have, yeah.
It was car stuff, so you left.
Yeah.
I went, God, too much car. No, I like cars, but a week off is nice. I sat there, I sipped on a couple of cocktails.
Which ones?
I had a pina colada.
Lovely.
I think, yes. Okay. I had a mojito.
Lovely.
Anything rum-based is pretty good.
That's when you're rum-based J3.
That's the one. Yeah, yeah, a little rum punch.
I saw a comment the other day that said, why do they always say something-based J3? You'll have to wait. You'll have to find that out. Other creamers will let you know in the comments.
Would you like, now, Ben, you've been away for a while.
Yep.
But you've been putting news and stuff in, so I'm hoping you've come prepared.
Yep. You've been putting things in.
So you put in here something about a Revuelto Roadster rumour.
So
I'm assuming that's like the rumoured Revuelto Roadster.
About the rumoured Revuelto Roadster. Okay. Try saying that three times fast.
Oh, cool. Let's move on. That's great.
There are rumours.
Okay.
About the Revuelto Roadster.
Now, hold on. Stop the press.
There have been many spy shots of the Revuelto SV testing.
Okay.
People have started to wonder about...
People have started to ruminate.
I promised the listeners I can speak. I just can't because these guys heckle me and interrupt me. So I think
it's because you don't come prepared and you talk.
I am prepared.
To fill the brain time, but your brain cannot work simultaneously.
Also, look at these strings being pulled. The manipulator going, it's not me actually. They're off camera, guys.
It's them. It's them.
This is like to the teacher going, no, sir, he's actually messing with me when you turn your back.
Right, I'll say it right now then. Okay. So the SV Revuelto.
What? Come on then, Ben.
Yes. The SV Revuelto has been spotted, but Lamborghini typically will release the like normal car, then a convertible one, and then they'll go on to the special edition ones.
Yes.
They haven't done that.
Mm.
And that got people wondering, where is it?
Perhaps
rumors circulated. And apparently they may not be able to actually make a Revuelto Roadster.
Ooh.
Because of the way the hybrid system is set up and because of like loads of other stuff I don't understand, they might not be able to cut the roof off it. So because of that.
Interesting.
But then there's one thing that I'm confused about, which is that the phenomenon, whether it is, that like one-off thing, they announced a couple of weeks ago a convertible version of that, which is a Revuelto underneath. So now I'm confused.
Interesting.
But there is no current plan for a convertible one.
The moment you said that, I realized something. The Miura and the Countach never had convertibles.
No.
So it's in the DNA.
But would you not want that?
It would sell. Yeah.
So I don't know, but that's the rumor. So who knows what will happen next?
God, we'll have to keep an eye on these rumors.
Yeah. What will people in Miami do?
Yeah, exactly. Dubai.
They'll get a sort of secondhand Huracan, won't they?
I would say that makes sense. Yeah.
It's not
rent it out.
And then a C7 Corvette as well. Oh.
Well, moving on to more news things. We spoke about Lotus saying that they're coming.
Okay. Interesting.
They're coming out with a new supercar, which I've read into a little bit more that it could be an Esprit.
Yeah.
The rumor is that it'll be called an Esprit. And it's a V8.
Okay.
It's a V8. And who do you think they're collaborating with on that
it's
V8?
It's not AMG, is it?
Benjamin?
It's going to be.
British company.
Jag?
No, it's Renault and Geely.
No.
I read
hold
it.
On, hold on, hold on, hold on. A V8?
A V8 from Renault and Geely.
So like Renault's doing one half of the V, Geely's doing the other half.
And Lotus are just, you know.
Lotus going, please don't.
Which one's going to make the issues?
Maybe they'll both make the issues so they cancel out.
Well, that's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it won't be. It'll be probably a bag of shit, but we'll see.
So the rumor is that it will be a 986 brake horsepower V8 engine, the hybrid supercar.
Oh, hybrid. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to know how much of this is engine. Is it going to be like 8 tons of electric motors and then just
now,
whatever?
Now, I would be, you know what intrigues me more is that Renault will then have access to the V8. I want to see a V6 type where they go, screw it, we're putting it in a Twizy. And then just the V8 Twizy comes
just
out.
Just on a Megane.
Also, I think we've got this in there at some point. We predicted the Nardo.
Yeah.
We talked about the Nardo a few weeks before Villa d'Este, which was the big show by Lake Como, I think, where they rich people bring rich people cars and things come out of the woodwork that haven't been seen in a while. We mentioned the Volkswagen Nardo a week or two before any of this came out, and then they popped up.
They went, a car
no one's talked about but I haven't thought about in 10, 15 years. Up he comes. There he is.
And they went, oh. Is that on the podcast? Better get it out for the weekend.
Ferdinand, mate, Pierre, can we find an Ardo?
Come on,
off it goes.
Out, mate, go on. Apparently, the Holdings Group, Geely's Holdings Group type thing, Geely Holding Group.
There you go.
They put together like this company with Renault that was like, then it's called Horse Powertrain.
Oh, it's Horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know about this.
Oh, you know about Horse Powertrain?
It's just they're called Horse.
Yeah, Horse Powertrain. Mm. A joint venture between Renault and Geely. They started it like 4 years ago, and they are going to be the boys putting together this V8.
Because I think Horse is what the engines in the new Clios are going to be. They're just going to be Horse engines.
I know, I've heard that.
Yeah.
It's not the best name.
You know, Horsepower, I can see where someone's brain went, well, let's not call it Horsepower, but if we call it Horse Powertrains, they'll read between the lines. You just named it an animal.
What's in there? I got a horse.
It's Horse.
Yeah, horse in there.
That's running the horse, horse one, isn't it?
They're running a twin horse in that.
But I'm interested. It is a new V8, so I guess.
Yeah, it could be cool.
You know, it could be cool, but also, you know, with the people that are involved, it could also not be very cool.
You know what? Willing to see what happens.
I'm willing to test and find out. And then on Lotus, I have no information
about
this one. This is hearsay.
Cool, man.
It's actually not. There's some proof here.
Rumors.
This is a rumor. Actually, it's more than a rumor at this stage because Lotus have posted about it. Lotus posted about a sort of zesty Emira.
I saw this.
But
it's a four-cylinder, potentially.
The noise was V6, I believe.
Oh, I heard four-cylinder.
I heard V6. Ben, could you pull up the Lotus Instagram page while we talk over you do it?
Engine cover looked weird, like...
And it was...
Isn't there already a V6?
Yeah. But there's already a four-cylinder.
Is there?
Yeah, the option for... God. That was when the Emira came out, it was... Ben's taking a picture of me. He's trying to get signal or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's a V6.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a V6.
But what I think is it will be... I don't know. Again, I haven't read in. No. All I've heard is that it might be like, you know, when they come out with like an Evora 900 million thousand.
Because it says like lighter, faster.
Yeah. So it'll be a sort of lightened Emira. But I think that's quite interesting. Also, Lotus just at the moment going... Not rumouring it. No rumors from Lotus.
Don't like it.
No, they do not do rumors. They just put something on the internet. Everyone goes, when did you decide that?
Yeah, weren't you dead a minute ago?
There's people at Lotus going, hey, whoa, we didn't know about this. And now we've got to build a car.
Have you seen what Jim's posted? I can't do that by Tuesday.
Yeah, just lighter. I've got a bit of V6 as well. Yeah, the four cylinders from the muck.
Yeah, the A45.
Which also had a dual clutch or an auto or whatever. Okay. And I don't think anyone bought it. So they said,
sayonara.
And then they went, oh, Renault, get the V8 going.
Get the horse going.
Ben, more news, big news from you. Hope you've been preparing again.
Big news, Ben.
Ferrari HC25. Tell me, talk to me. What's that mean?
Yes. Oh, wow. That takes me back a couple of weeks ago.
A couple of weeks
ago. Where?
Yeah, this was posted 7 days ago. The article I'm reading 7 days ago.
I have it. I just put up.
Perhaps not even you heard it here third. You heard it here about 15th.
The Ferrari HC25.
So what's that then?
This is a one-off.
No.
Of basically from, it's based on the
Horatio Ciccani. That's usually the letters are the name of the person who's commissioned
it. That's the one. No. It's
Henry Cavill. No way, I didn't know he's into them.
Yeah, and he's only 25, so it's all good. hang on.
Okay, here we go.
I've lost his brain with that one.
Just threw him. Literally, opened the back door to his brain, threw a flashbang in and just shut it, walked off.
The HC25 is based on an F8 Tributo.
Okay.
So I don't know why they've done a one-off with their least spicy powertrain.
Okay.
But fine. I
would argue their best looking car right
now. Yes, and do you know what? This thing, apart from the stupid black bits on it that are like they do with all of their cars, I quite like it.
Has he got a moustache?
Sort of, but it doesn't look like a moustache as much.
How would you know he's Italian without a moustache?
Exactly.
The wheels have like a blade. They remind me of the RS3.
Like
They remind me of Audi wheels from the 2000s.
Okay, I think that's kind of cool.
I think it looks cool. I don't like the black accents on it. Apart from that,
do you know what? Cool. I'm going to say it. Ferrari do not have the ability to do special editions, like one-offs, like Lamborghini do.
Yeah.
Lamborghini always make like a even a new one. The Countach is good. The Cyan, I'm not a fan of. What's the other one? Because Reventon, top guy, bins. Absolute best special edition ever. You took the best model you ever made, in my opinion, and then made it into a fighter jet thing. That's cool. Ferrari always just go, allora, we have a putter swells and some shark fin on him. Pay me 10 million euro.
It's still based on the V8 thing as well. Do more V12 stuff.
Yeah.
That's you. Ferrari, you are. That is you. You are V12. And they go, it's a V8.
I don't get it. Because, so it's for very special customers, what they're calling their client, right?
A VSP.
Yeah.
So we don't know who HC is.
It doesn't say on the thing I read.
Homer Simpson.
Great spelling. I don't get why. I mean, it's their car, but why would you choose what is effectively? Are they still making the F8?
I thought they were finished up.
When you said F8, I thought, is that like a 10-year-old Ferrari or something?
It's the 488 successor, right? So it's relatively new, but they have cars that are spicier than that. Mm. You could probably make look like
a 296.
That.
Surely you take a 296 and do that.
That's going to have cost a lot of money for them.
Oh, they
like,
cost
like millions.
The one-offs always cost multiple millions.
Exactly. But then why would you not do that with like, even like a 296, which is going to be more powerful than that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Crazy.
But well, hey, your car, man.
Sounds like rich people with money get to do, you know, whatever they want. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah.
When are we going to get the BR25 or something?
Yeah, man. Next year.
What would 25. You have, Ben? What would you like them to do? Because usually it's, they take a car, and they take an inspiration from something else. Like the Eric Clapton's car, it was based on a 512 BB. That's what it was supposed to look like.
Oh, really?
He's a guitarist,
isn't he?
Was it a 430?
No, it was a 458. A 458, which was meant to look like a 512. So that's another one. They based it on a V8, but then went...
I guess they haven't got a V12 that fits the bill.
No. So interesting. So Ben, what would you have?
I would have... Do you know what I have? Really simple. It's a Lamborghini Aventador. On my driveway.
Made by Ferrari.
Oh, it has to be a Ferrari?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care.
No, you have to. What's your best Ferrari?
458 for me.
Okay, so you want a 2025 296, but they have resto-modded it to look like a 458. Then here's delivery of your F8 Tributo, sir.
I don't know. Can I do Lamborghini?
Sure, why not?
What is it? What
means you've got to come up with some mad Italian name now.
Yeah.
You could have just called it the BR25 and then you put yourself on.
Okay, I'll do Ferrari then. Okay. Yeah. I'll have the drivetrain. It has to be a new drivetrain.
What's going on here?
I don't understand.
What car would you like them to build? It's based on a new car, a car they currently sell.
Right.
But looks like whatever you want it to
look. Oh, I got you. It's going to look like a modern day F40.
Okay. So like the Testarossa thing that they're
No, it doesn't look like one.
Like the thing that, what's his name, wants to make?
Lewis Hamilton.
Who's he?
Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah. That.
Okay, cool.
Basically that.
So you just want to link up with Lewis Hamilton and say, yo, let's get this thing done.
What's that, man?
How much do you reckon you need to make it happen?
Oh, big.
What's that?
10 mil.
I think more.
You probably do need more.
No, but, I think 10 mil.
Okay. Well, that's Ben's so to make a negotiating one-off pants with Ferrari.
Oh, 10 mil?
Oh, that's a good amount of money.
That's steep. Oh, yeah, but you've Ben goes, well, I'll just go elsewhere.
What are you developing? You know what I mean? Have you got the drivetrain there? You've got to shape a bit of metal and it's just...
Makes lots of sense, though. They have a twin turbo V8. Like,
yeah.
Whack it.
Stop messing
about.
It
makes no sense.
Yeah. What would you have?
I want a 250 GT California styled, but using a like an 812 Competizione.
Okay.
So like a Vert.
You can't have that.
Why is that then?
Because an 812 doesn't exist anymore.
Whatever it's called, mate.
12 cylindry.
That's the one, 12 cylindry.
Sure, man.
Thank you very much.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
Just didn't have a clue.
I saw one the other day on the road and they do have some road presence. Chase.
And some noise.
They are chonky.
When we were at Supercar Driver and it was Shmi no less.
Yes.
Old Shmi McGee. And he was driving his beige one.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure it has a name. But it's beige.
It's the brown barge.
It's the brown Schmiller bill. And it coming down the straight, from the front, the induction noise.
It was really good.
It's like CSL level and that's in like standard airbox stuff. It was pretty cool noise.
Get some ITG filters on that guy and you're off.
Crazy noise.
William, what are you having?
So it's got to be based on... I would have some... I would like them to make me a mid-engined V12 thing.
Okay.
Using their V12.
Like Testarossa type B?
Like Testarossa.
I'd like...
512 shape.
I want to change my answer. I want an F8 Tributo base. I want to make it 355.
Ooh.
Now that I'd like.
Now that is spicy.
Yeah.
I like that. Ooh.
Okay.
We'll like how that one sounds.
Yeah.
What we got next?
Yeah.
Now, this podcast is also sponsored by our friends over at Motul. Now, both Edwin and I, even before Cream and Top Dead Santa, have been using Motul for years because when it comes to putting fluids in your project car, your track car, any car that you own, you really want to use a product that you trust.
We recently put Motul 300V in our Audi RS6. That is designed for performance and track-focused car, basically anything that is going to be pushed hard. It's formulated to resist aeration and maintain its viscosity even at high temperatures, helping to protect your engine when it is under serious load.
We're also big fans of Motul's RBF 660 brake fluid. Now, brake fluid actually absorbs moisture over time, which reduces its boiling point, and then you get a horrible soft pedal. But RBF 660 has a super high boiling point, which means that you get consistent pedal feel for longer, even when the car gets very, very hot.
So next time that your car needs an oil change, brake fluid, or any other lubricant, make sure you head over to clubmotul.co.uk, use our code TDC for 15% off your next order. Shout out Motul.
What we have next? Oh, this is Vision BMW Alpina.
What's this?
So this was, I think it was from that
Villa d'Est.
That's the badger. I revealed a thing. I'll show it to you. We'll have things on the screen because we have no TV, because I don't want to put it on that.
Okay.
Now, I felt bad for... You're not allowed to see it, Ben. You just have to imagine it. Are you seeing it?
Yeah, I see it.
I felt bad for liking it because it kind of looks like the Jag thing.
Yeah. Now, we'll describe it for the audio listeners.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I thought you said wheel.
No, I didn't mean to say wheel.
So imagine the Jag concept thing you've already seen, but just a million times better.
Yeah.
So now I did read some of the shit.
It has. Imagine if a Rolls Royce designer was asked to do a BMW, brackets, they work for the same company, as like a big long 8 series, but modern type thing. It's quite cool.
It's like a vision car. So it's a bit like, this is what we could do in the future.
And it's going to go in your Gran Turismo game and you're going to go, I don't want this. I don't care that it's free.
Sell it. There's some lines here about it. It says the front end is defined by powerful volumes and a forward-leaning stance that promises speed without overstatement. God. The shark nose reinterprets BMW's kidney grille as a three-dimensional sculpture that leads the car's form and frames the brand emblem with quiet confidence. From this shark nose, the exterior is organized around a single shark.
Ben, can you translate that?
I would say... Bloody hell, it looks good, doesn't it? It's nice, isn't it? It's like a long one, isn't it?
I'd say, so basically what we've done is we made that nose just a bit big.
It says rising from the lower front corners at a 6-degree inclination, runs along the side of the body and wraps around the rear, assertive enough to suggest motion, controlled enough to remain refined.
Cool.
Which is exactly what I thought.
Ben.
Listen, bro, you hit the word count, all right?
Fine. Ben, I would like, please, the marketing, our thing that we do, where we derive meaning for marketing. What does the 6 degrees come from?
The 6 degrees comes from the fact that it took us approximately 6 hours to write this silly explanation.
Very nice.
Also, there were 6 designers, which leads back to BMW's heritage of piston numbers. Usually 6.
Very nice. Clean. I like that. Good. All right, good.
Yeah, but behind the rear console, there's a glass water bottle that sits beside BMW Alpina crystal glasses that rise on a self-deploying mechanism, and each glass is engraved with 20 deco lines and features a 6-degree rim profile held by concealed magnets. There's a space.
Magnets?
Magnets. And softly lit against the open grain center console.
Here's one for you. Shut up.
Now,
that's a cup holder.
You can't tell me that this is...
That's a cup holder. Is that not a cup holder? Also, if I want a bit of water whilst I'm driving and I have to wait for the symphony of it to rise out of the dashboard, also, I just want to reach for it.
Also, crazy, if you're driving, sorry, mate, can you just decant that glass bottle into one of my 6-degree cups?
Yeah, the one with the 20 deco lines just sat flush there with the wood grain interior. Shut up. Someone gets paid to write this stuff.
Mental.
And who's listening? Who is listening to this? It really is. But I think it looks quite cool.
Yeah,
so if BMW, because I don't like modern BMWs very much.
No.
And most of the designs look like ass, but they've had like one or two little concepts that's been like, you know what,
it feels like there's like two or three people at BMW who are just fighting everyone else. They're just walking in and going, no, I will not let you do this. iX3, right, I'm going to find him in the cafeteria and beat him.
Also, because this is simple. It has a massive grill that's not really a grill, so obviously it's going to be electric and whatever else. But it's, other than that, it's not that crazy. There are no mad lines, and it has this really, almost like this, where the inner, the part of the door sort of falls away, and then there's a sill that comes back out. Yeah. So it looks wide and angry. This is how you design a car. And then they'll put that out, and it'll be slab-sided. It will look like a dead fish, and well, just people will buy it, won't they?
It's going to be a crossover.
Yeah, and people will buy it, yeah. And then we will be, you know, it's we won't care anymore. But I thought that looked quite cool. When I saw BMW concept, I thought, oh God, here we go. But I thought it looked right.
Once again, old men shouting at the clouds.
Edwin, you've put in here a shout-out for Bengineering.
Yeah, just a small one. We were... Bengineering, aka Hack Engineering, brought the Ether E46 M3 back to here because we didn't have time to go and film the pickup of it. And I thought he was getting a lift back. I thought they were coming in two cars. He arrived and he was like, no, I'll just get the train back. I was like, crazy to do that. And then he went, do you want a hand with the RS6? Just stayed and spent 4 or 5 hours with us just working on the RS6. Just a massive shout out to Ben. He's just the nicest dude.
I was at MRC having our injectors tested. It took a long, long time because we had to test a lot of injectors. And I came back and Edwin and Ben were stood at the door because they came out with the camera. And I saw someone working away on the RS6. And we were in the trenches at this point.
This was tough.
There was the bolt on the pinch bolt at the top of the arm on the RS6 that many Audi people have recognized since. And he was just working away at it.
Yeah.
Working away. It felt a little bit like we had him as a... he couldn't leave.
Yeah. I kept saying to him, do you want to go now? And he was like, no, I'll stay until it's done.
Yeah. And he just texted his family and said, please help me.
they will not let me leave.
I'm not...
Ben, mate, hand me your phone quickly. Yeah, no, I'll take that. But go give Hack Engineering a follow. Shout out to Ben.
Shout out. Nicest man.
And because you share the same name and because he made you a sticker, right?
I have many stickers.
And they say?
Bengineering on them.
As you do.
Because you are a Bengineer, are you not?
That's the one.
I don't think
Ben is a Bengineer. I'm from that.
Edwin, you've put in here 206 Elephant ad.
Yes, I don't have that much information on it, but the 206 Elephant ad, if we all know what this is the early 2000s. Ben, you're too young for it, I bet.
How early in the 2000s was it?
So you don't know. Exactly. You'd know if you knew.
I don't know.
There is a Peugeot ad. It was, I think it became quite, what would you call it?
I would call that somewhat viral.
Divisive also as well.
Oh, really?
At one point I remember seeing an article on it. But essentially, it is the setting is a man in India. He sees a 206 in an advert. He looks at his boxy old 80s car and decides to form a 206 out of it with an elephant sitting on it and what such. That's a real car. It exists. It's in a museum.
Is it just a battered 206?
I believe it's made out of like a plasticine mold or something. I saw a comment on Instagram, but it was the actual car is in a museum. I believe it's in France. But I always thought it's just CGI or something. Mm. But no, it's an actual thing.
We've talked about this a couple of times. And again, this could be, like you said, just old boys going, nah, it's good. They used to be better in my day. But since I've been buying old magazines and I've been looking at adverts, just print adverts, they're just some of the slogans, some of the photos, just so much better than the way things are advertised now.
We were looking.
I think maybe we'll do a little. We'll collect a few.
Yeah.
And just go through. Maybe even if it's just for Instagram or something.
I think it's the same thing as you know there is that meme that every man on earth believes he could land the plane if needed to. If they, you'd be like, I could do that. Yes. I'll step up and do it. I believe I'd make a really good advertiser.
Yeah.
Like I reckon I could do adverts.
Yeah.
Because I'd just be like, no, just make a good one. Meanwhile, when we spoke to Al Clark and he was like, no, they have rules for everything. Yeah. You can't say this and you can't do that.
I bet. All the ones I've looked at, they've been relatively simple. I'm like, why couldn't you apply that?
Do you know what? I'm putting a mark in the ground here. Nobody else gets to steal this now. When we do the Cream yearly book or magazine, car manufacturers, you're allowed to put whatever ads you want. You can go crazy with it in ours. Because it's not technically
it has to be approved as a cool
advert. We can make one.
Yeah, we will make your adverts for you.
Denza. Get in there, son.
Denza, mate. We'll do it.
But that's what every advert now is they've become like perfume.
Yeah.
Where they have to have a celebrity or a Hollywood face that's like, this car is 9 degrees of beans and crystal glasses in the back. Whereas I don't want that.
No.
Give me a cool advert that I can relate to. Like,
yeah.
Some of the... Just all the BMW ones, even like I saw a Rover one. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Even a Rover one. Again, we'll put some together maybe and go over them in another podcast. But adverts were better Well, that's me. I almost dropped my laptop.
Will nearly drops the laptop, but also turned into a 7-year-old child.
But
Adverse were actually better.
But then, I don't care what anyone. It might be a little bit of nostalgia, like a little bit. I think you can then look back at those cars and go, now that car's cool to me. But I still think the core advertising part of it, the thing that makes your brain go, do you know what? That's quite cool. I want to buy it. It was better.
Yeah, it was for sure.
100% better. I put in here Drake. CLK DTM.
I saw this and I don't know anything.
Okay, so I don't follow Drake.
Okay. Who is Drake?
And he doesn't follow us.
Yet.
Drake is a singer from Canada.
Okay.
A rapper, I think.
Right, okay.
Is what you would actually say. And he's quite well known.
Right, like he's got a couple of
followers. He's got a couple of followers and he's got a couple of songs that have done all right.
Right, okay.
And he's got some cars.
Oh, yes.
Oh boy, does
now,
he have some cars.
Now, let me go off the top of my head. He has a LaFerrari at one point.
There's an F40 in there.
Yeah, there is an F40.
And an F50.
Oh, I didn't know about the F50.
I'm pretty sure there's an
F50. He's going for the whole...
I haven't confirmed it, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
Okay. And then what else do I know? I know that he has lots of Maybachs and Mercs and things.
Yeah. So there is sort of generic rapper cars, right?
Yeah,
there are, and they tend to be quite modern. We look back at cars like this and go, wow, they were cool. But probably a lot of them are buying it because it was just the biggest, most expensive Lamborghini you could buy. And that is normally the case with modern stuff. It'll be in a Revuelto or whatever. But he posted, I don't know the context for this. I've just seen a screenshot from his Instagram. And this is just got a CLK DTM.
What?
So I'm going to...
Is it, now, does he really know game? Is it a coupe or is it a convertible?
It's a convertible.
Whoa!
So it's a convertible. Now next to it...
That's crazy.
...is an XJ220.
Yo.
And then next to that, well, on the other side, sorry, of the CLK DTM, is what appears to be some sort of pink on pink early L322 Range Rover.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Now going back to my early 2000s. Now that's a is that an early L322?
It's an early because I can see the square, the boxy lights. So it's a super early.
Because Mace had I think it was a pink. There was a pink L322, but I think it was candy pink. Now I wonder if that would be quite cool if he's going around collecting old rappers' cars.
It's a pink Range Rover. I want to know what's the story on that. Can we have a doing a little walk around tour of Drake's car collection? Because also, again, it's not, they seem to be kind of,
also, sorry,
I don't know if it's an investment thing or what, but they're kind of enthusiast type cars.
He appears to have the garage from GTA 5 online as well. That's quite interesting. Now, is it a silver DTM?
That is a silver DTM, but and then a silver XJ220 and then just
were,
the pink on pink.
There were some one-off colors. I think you could only ever get the CLK DTM in silver, but there were some black cars built. That's crazy.
I have to do some research on the Range Rover. There's a few people saying things in the comments. I can't be able to say them because I don't know if they're true. But we'll look into that. But I want to have a look at what other cars he's got. Is he actually into the car? I always wonder if some of these people, that obviously that they have their main profession, their job, the thing they're famous for, but do they, some of them got to be really into cars.
Yeah.
And they just don't, it's not their job. It's a hobby.
Oh, dude, you need one of those XJ220 Jags. And he goes, all right, I bought it.
XJ220 is kind of niche.
That's quite very niche.
For like CLK DTM, I can see it's a Vert, it's an early 2000s AMG.
From memory, none of them were shipped from factory there. So therefore, it would have to be an import. It would have to be, you'd have to go out of your way. You couldn't have just stumbled upon it. You'd have to go, all right, let me have that.
But if any of you know of any cool rappers or musicians or actors that have got cool cars, because I always get really interested in this, but then the content... And the information you find online is always dross.
Oh,
it'll be a Mirror article or some AI written article.
Yeah, that's the like, top 10 cars that Eminem owns. Number one, Bugatti Devo. No, he doesn't, you chopper.
And there'll be no evidence of it. Or it'll be someone where they drove it in a movie and they go, that's a car. No, that's what their character drove in a movie. It's not the same.
I don't know if we've talked about it before, but the MTV Cribs 50 Cent one, where he supposedly had an Enzo, an F40, and F50.
Yeah.
And then his big thing at the end was my Pontiac Grand Am, or G6, sorry, I think it was, because he was sponsored. But none of those cars he owned. He didn't own any of the Ferraris. Nice. It was just a...
Because there was the G-Unit one, where they go around, and he wasn't there, and they go around all the cars, and it was the Escalade. I think a Navigator in there.
A 760 Li.
It was a 760 with Matt. They were like relatively standard. And then just had massive wheels and massive sound systems,
and
basically.
And then a completely stock 300C that had just come out, like stock, a car that you'd see now and go, ugh. And they were all like, this is sick.
Yeah, I think that was a, I think they said you can't even, was it not, you can't even get these.
This is,
you can't get these, on the, these aren't even on the street right now, something like that. But
that is a joke that we have among ourselves in the unit, that if you can't find enough part, you say, you can't even get these. I can't even get these things. It comes from that.
But whenever I look for Drake's car collection now, I just it just comes up with that CLK DTM. So Drake, mate, if look, we're both on Spotify. We know what the game's like.
We got a couple of streams too, you know. Yeah.
Look, just let us know. We'll come over. I don't know where you live, like what county in the UK you live in. But we're willing to come over. We'll pay for like lunch.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a couple, there's some great meal deal options around here. Like we could do a bang up, you know, setup.
Edwin, you've put in here, Birmingham final boss.
Yes. Now, this is a photo, so unfortunately the audio listeners will have to see this on video, but I will do my best to explain. I'm going to show it to you, and you're going to tell me why this is a photo that I saw of a car on the road is the final boss of Birmingham. Here you go. Can you see what car is that?
That is an X5M, or it appears to be an X5M.
Yeah. Now, can you see the see what's going on here?
Oh, my God. Is that two fog lights, two rain lights?
Double F1 fog lights.
He is twinning. And he's got the little canards on the bumper as well, which are probably standard.
But I see.
So it's rain lights.
X5M, but he has got not one. Oh, hello, mate. No, not that. Not one rain light, but a double on the other side.
He's so fast, he needs two rain lights.
He needs to let when he hits those brakes and he's coming in through the S's, he's got to let everyone know, I'm a big unit.
Wide load.
Do watch out for me. Double F1 rain lights is crazy.
That's
work.
A crazy one.
Also, what looked to be possibly in a standard diffuser. I don't know too much about those. It had
aftermarket wheels and it had like a Maxton looking
kit.
Okay,
so it might be a kit.
I think it might have had a full kit, but crazy.
Double
F1.
Did you see them working?
No. Now so they weren't to braking, which is so maybe he has the full. He said, I'm function over form here.
It's for when I'm racing and when I put the wets on.
When I'm on Spa. And I'm coming through, you know, the Eau Rouge. I have to let the F1 cars, because they're behind me, obviously.
You joke about it, and he goes, safety does not take a day off. Okay. So that's a fog light.
You know what? I'm out here waiting to see the quad F1 rain lights. It'll happen at some point.
Just all the way around or something. Right, Ben, you've put in here GTC4 Lusso manual.
I have indeed. And that's because somebody has manual swapped a GTC4 Lusso.
That's interesting.
Now,
I'll show you the video.
I've seen the video.
Okay. Well, what's going on here? Why is everyone so...
There's tomfoolery.
Is it fake?
Ajar.
Okay. It's,
I think, just play the video.
Okay, so there is a man. He's shifting. He's got the tool shifter.
Gated. It's metal. Yeah. It does look a bit odd. It's quite raised.
Okay. Right. That's it. It's looped again.
Yeah. So now, that's what I saw. So it's a GTC. If people don't know, GTC4 Lusso is
the wagon.
It's pretty cool. I quite like them. Ferrari wagon thing. It's a two door,
like a hatchback. Yes, two door, four seat.
From about 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was the evolution of the FF,
and they were never manual. And this person has put in a manual transition, but will.
I don't know. Again, I've done no research. It's just from me seeing that video.
Hearsay.
The shifts were super fast. It almost felt like it was. Like it was meant to look like a gated manual, but it was actually, you know, it's just going up a gear every time you go up a gear. So I couldn't see much leg movement, but Ben, feel free to.
Hold on a second.
Oh, uh-oh.
There's no, the left leg doesn't move on the shift. I'm watching again.
Ooh. Which is why I think it's a simulated, it's just, I guess you would, again, I don't know the stuff, but it would just be the up paddle or the down paddle.
Oh, so you going through the gears. So it's like a motor that is, it's actuating it when you shift it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But designed to be mechanical.
Now,
and
the reason that I was going to say that when you first said it, was how would that overcome that sixth gear thing? Because supposedly in the FF, I don't know if it's the FF, but I think it's the GTC4, they have it. They disengage the all-wheel drive system in sixth gear because they have that issue where all-wheel drive, they can't handle high speed. How would you program that in to a manual?
Yeah.
I have the answer. I did some research.
Brush if you look to look below the
comments.
Yeah, okay,
you said read the comments. More.
So what it actually is it's a gated shifter looking at this. And all it does is bypass the paddles. So
there you go.
Basically, as you shift from first second, it's just in the car like when you press the paddle would
right.
do that. So
you go William bloody Sherlock here. Absolutely. There was straight to the bottom of the case.
Right. He saw the man's leg not moving.
You can hear a manual.
Yeah.
Like, there is an obvious delay. I don't care. You could be DMO shifting, but like there is still, you can still tell a manual. And that still sounded like it. And yeah, the leg not moving was
crazy. Ben
was a
bringing
good
us fake news onto this podcast.
I thought it was interesting.
I didn't quite get that.
Do you know what that feels like? It feels, you know, when electric cars do that.
Yeah, it does feel a lot like that.
It's like, why would you? It might be more fun, but it just feels weird. It's also, it's a bit belt and braces. It's like, oh, I got five different ways to change gears.
Also, I feel like save those manual parts for the cars that actually want to be converted.
Yeah,
unless they're remade, in which case, cool. But interesting.
Interesting. Also, do like a GTC4. Now, shall we end on a little want of the week? Now, Benjamin Rogers over here has put this in. He asked for a want of the week.
I noticed this. He put a want of the week in while he was in Barbados, while you were away.
No, what happened was I put in a few weeks ago to have a want of the week, and then we never got to it.
And then
I put it in again because I still want it.
Because I saw it while you were away. I was like, what's he seeing out there? What's he thinking about?
Suzuki Swift. Circa 2012.
He wants a margarita. I would like an Alfa Romeo of sorts.
Oh,
and
it's sorry.
And this will either be... Maybe it's controversial. No, you're not going to like this.
A new one?
I saw a 4C in person.
They're quite cool.
And you know what? I like that.
Yeah.
Not for 50 grand, but I like that.
You bother me.
Why is that?
Because you said you don't get Alfa.
Yeah.
But it's not really Alfa, is it?
What are you talking about? What's that? I like the Alpha. It's not the Alpha, though.
But it's possibly one of the most Alpha Alphas.
No, I think it's one of the least Alpha Alphas.
Why? My 159 outside is just, it looks like an Alpha, but it's GM stuff.
Okay, that's fair. But I mean, like for like a performance Alpha, it feels like it's not. It's a little four-cylinder in a little mid-engine car.
Okay, other than mid-engine, but that's kind of what Alpha was based on, was four-cylinder.
I thought they were big V6 boys and like Busso and stuff.
That's what you're saying.
That's 80s, 90s.
But it is their thing. Like, they made it, is what I'm saying.
To me, it feels like, it feels, I don't know, it doesn't feel like an Alfa Romeo to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Probably am. Usually
it's
am.
A bit more, it's like their solution to an Alpine or an Elise or
but
something.
But it's like a hot hatch, but
yeah,
but in the back.
Now, do you like, which headlights did you see?
I have a controversial take.
Don't even say it. No, don't speak. No. Just don't. We know what you're going to say.
Go on, say it.
You like the bug lights. You're a weirdo.
Which is that?
The early ones.
The one without a lens?
Yeah, the one with the little dots.
I don't.
No, then that's not controversial. That's what kind of worldwide everyone agrees on.
Let me actually give my answer. I would, if in an ideal world, I would have a coupe, so not convertible, because I think that looks better, but that they come with the bug lights.
Yes,
so I'd have the normal headlights on a coupe.
I believe, I might be wrong, but I believe that all of the lights switched over from the Spider. So I think you can still buy a coupe, but it's just a late one.
Okay, that's what I thought was that it was the silly bug lights were on just the Spiders. But
maybe they're...
Either way.
Have you ever seen the inside?
They're the early ones.
Right.
Which is a coupe.
Have you seen the inside?
Yeah, I've seen, yeah. It's horrible. Tough. It's badly made. It's got a stupid radio. It's got twisty little knobs. The digital dash looks
aftermarket as hell. Like the dash is, I guess it kind of adds to it some of its character.
I looked up how much they cost. I thought, silly. You know what? That was like 40 grand when it came out. I remember them coming out and I thought, that's a lot of money for what that is. And then I thought, surely by now that's 10, 15 grand max. Nope, 40, 50 grand. Yeah. They just haven't dropped in value.
Because they're very rare.
See them. And because
they're carbon tub.
Carbon tub, yeah.
It is quite cool. Like, that's a lot of money, but to get something that has a carbon tub,
yeah,
as a, it's sort of supercar-esque. It's just the engine's quite good, but you can get that engine in a 159.
I'd really, really like to do one on TDC at some point, and I would like to V6 manual swap.
Oh yeah,
a rear wheel drive carbon tub like Busso manual would be fantastic.
Yeah, that would be,
because also running it front wheel drive spec, so you just leave the gearbox front wheel drive, so you don't have anything coming down the tunnel like what it has there. Get some cables going to it. Well, hey,
even the new V6,
yeah,
the Giulia, was it 2.9 or whatever it is, the twin turbo thing?
That would be quick as well. That would be fast.
But that's my other point. They're quick. Like standard.
Was it? They're like 4.9.
They're 4.1 seconds to 60.
4.1.
Yeah, that's what I just read.
That's crazy.
But wasn't there a thing when they came out where it was all very Italian, where they were like, it weighs a ton.
Yeah.
And then they saw, it's actually like 1.2.
Yeah.
But actually sort of like more like 1.3.
And then if you put fluids in it, yeah.
Or if you sat in it, it's actually a 2-ton car, basically. Because it was like a carbon tub and whatever else, but it was Alpha. So there was like, it weighs 800 kilos, actually, if you don't have any fluids or people or wheels or tires or electronics or anything in it. I think it's still a light car.
Yeah.
But it's not what it should have been, which is like Elise Light.
Yeah, exactly.
Like super simple type thing.
I'd love to know how many are made, because it has to be...
It's not very many. I looked this up.
Especially for right-hand drive, there must be like 100 that got delivered to you.
Sorry.
I never see them.
Oh, okay. They made 4Cs. Again, this is Google AI, so someone feel free to do more research than I'm doing. And actually, I'm seeing it in a forum post here as well. 9,100 total 4Cs built.
Really?
I can't see the divide. They made them for 7 years, 9,000 units, and they coupe was 2013 to 2019.
1,200 right-hand drive ones.
That's what? Where are they?
Yeah.
They can't,
also, that's enough to see them like once a year,
also,
at least.
They can't rot because they're carbon. They can't, where are they? I need to know where they all are now.
Also, why are they so expensive? There's that many of them.
Well, I guess, yeah, it's weird.
I don't know if maintenance, I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know much about them. And I think once a year, I check up Alpha 4Cs just to see if they've come down to some ridiculous price. Because I think it would be, just seeing that outside on the driveway or just going out for driving, it would be quite cool. There was a thing that I think Top Gear mentioned or Clarkson mentioned that they're biblically wide.
Yeah.
For a small car. I think they're like almost 1.9 meters wide, which is mental.
They sound cool though.
I see the
no, I'm gonna play one for you
because they're 1750 TBI.
Is it? Yeah, and it's like a dual clutch, I think.
Yeah,
type gearbox. So
they do DSG farts. That's what.
But I don't mind that noise coming out of a hatchback or even some form of small saloon. But it's
not special. It's not a special enough noise.
That's one of the worst videos I could have picked.
Also, do you know what that sounds like? That sounds like my girlfriend's a bath.
Wait, go again.
There we go.
That's horrible.
I thought I sound all right.
That's horrible.
It lacks any kind of tone. I don't mind the noise. It just doesn't have a... I think you would get tired of that noise.
I thought it was Golf R noise.
That's what I mean. It's generic four-cylinder turbo noise.
Okay, well then I'm...
But you still want
controversial.
One.
Controversial. No, I do want one. Yeah, I like them. I think they're cool.
I could see you. You feel like...
No, I'm just zesting that for one. I think it's nice.
An Alpine A110 or a 4C, that's fodder.
Would you have that or the Alpine? Alpine
for the money, an Alpine 100%. But if they were both 20 grand, then it would be more difficult.
Oh, no, but you already said you're a coupe man. Because I was going to say there isn't a spider Alpine.
Yeah, well, I'm not necessarily not a convertible man. I just prefer the... coupe version of the 4C.
Fair.
Also, 4C, not that I see a lot of Alpines, but 4Cs, you go out and you know you're not seeing another.
Yeah.
There's,
unless you go to wherever the other 8,000 are.
to the one man who's collected all of the right-hand drives.
This is a small Italian town somewhere. It's just 8,000 Alpha 4Cs. Must be the US, surely.
Yeah, I think it is a lot of the US. Will, what's yours? Wait, are you in a state of... No, because you have been looking at things.
I have been looking at things, but I can't do anything at the moment. I'm just buying tyres.
Are you still on that RS6 game?
And pipes, yeah.
You still like that?
I still like an RS6, but the thought of owning an RS6 alongside a Murcielago could kill a man.
I think you're done.
Yeah, you're done. Like, there's one bad month away from losing your house.
Gone.
Like, just losing a place to live.
Blown smooth off.
Like, you're just living in a car at that point.
But you can't drive a house.
RS6 is tempting, but the C6s, as we know, are cheap. But I don't think I could ever own one of those because they're just too painful.
I had a thought the other day that if someone was super well off, they could buy an Audi RS6 like ours, a C6, a V10, drive it until it breaks and then just buy another.
Yeah.
That would be better. You'd be better off doing that if you were like silly money to just keep doing that.
Or run it on a sort of rotation where that one goes in, you buy another. Normally that will break. That then goes in. You get your other one
back. You probably want like three.
Yeah.
So just when one's in for downtime, the other one might break.
Yeah.
So you need that third to just fall back on.
Just break. And then and you could, know, hundreds of thousands of pounds.
And you could be all in for like 25 grand.
Yeah. A day.
For three of them.
But RS6 would be cool as a bit of a daily thing. But again, I'm a little way off that. C63 estate still there. It's just such a cool, that idea of having a 6.2 litre.
Crazy.
Estate car. Never happening again. That would be cool. RS4s, I've gone off a little bit. I think it's because we've been surrounded by... Taylor's now got an RS4 Avant. Alex had the Saloon, which is now gone, and now has another Avant. So I've seen a million of them. And even though I haven't driven one, I've lost I've lost.
It's not special.
They've lost some of that specialness. Yeah. I'm like, no one knows about them. But I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to drive one, but I have a feeling I'll drive one, and I'll say an E92 M3 is better than this.
Yeah.
And that would be my final one. Is an E92. It's just one of those. Comes around every so and so.
It's like Christmas. Comes around once a year. You're never ready for it.
My dad's got one. It was like a Cat D. I think it was Cat D. Or it might be Cat C. Don't know. He will correct me.
Him?
Yeah, it was crash damaged in some way, and he got it on eBay quite cheap for it. It was like an LE500, so the limited edition one. And that's just a very nice car.
Really
nice car. And it's just the noise it makes and the way it looks. We saw one today at lunch. Just lovely. Sat beautifully. And no doubt we'll see many at Monterey Car Week.
Oh,
which
yes.
We're going to for the first time. To.
We are going to go.
I think there was one or two there. Do you remember?
No. Never.
I just hope to see at least one while we're out there. But yeah, that would be my want.
Edwin?
I desperately want an S4 or S6. Means what, Ben, in German?
Ultra rare.
It means original. It's the shortened word of the word original. The original S4 and S6 are a 2.2 five-cylinder turbo. They call it the 20-valve turbo, but not 1.8T. And they are, I want it for the noise. I want a slab. I want a slab of Audi 90s. You probably don't even know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because they're a C3.
Yeah, I actually do.
Well played, Ben.
I actually do know what you're talking about. I don't know anything about them. I can visualize it, though.
C3 and C4. C3 is my favorite. That is an Audi 100 or 200. Or if you're American, it's an Audi 5000. Which is...
That's what they called it in the US?
They called it that. And that's also... There is a slang term that when you say, I'm Audi 5000, that means I'm leaving.
Okay.
Because I'm out of here. That's actually what... That is
also just classic that they had to give the Americans. Go, oh, we can't just go one number. It's bigger. It's got to be the 5000.
5000.
They simply won't understand it.
So Audi 5000s in the UK were our equivalent, 100, 200, C3. We never got with the big engine, the 2.2 Quattro. That would be my dream, but... I don't know if we can do it, if I can do it in terms of dealing with all of the swap stuff. So a URS6 saloon. Oh, I want one so badly. I want one so badly, in fact. You met a guy called Aaron. From Retro Garage, who you might know on Instagram. You met him at the Continental thing.
Yeah.
He then said, oh, I'm going to be at this event at Bicester this weekend. There's a Great British Jag show thing. And I drove down there simply to talk to him about these cars. And say, okay, if you find one, can you tell me where it is? Because I want one.
He chewed my ear off about Audis, and I realized how little I know about Audis.
Yeah.
And I just said, Edwin would like to speak to you.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
And then I did, and now I really want one. So a wagon's cooler. I get it. It's wagon. Wagon stuff's cool. But I want the saloon. I'm a saloon man.
I have been feeling Audis recently.
It's, you know what? This needs to be studied. The RS6, it presents itself and goes... I'm going to mash you up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to mash you up. And you go, yeah, no, I know. But I do like you.
You are cool, though.
I do think you're quite cool.
MRC, actually. Really got it up me. Because there are two Audis at MRC that are both built by Doug. They've been sat for a little while. It's quite sad. But they're just so cool. One is an RS4
B5
Avant. That's just so cool. It's got RS4 B7 or B8 carbon ceramic brakes on the front. It's got pole positions. It's unbelievable. But then just tucked over the back, there is it an S4? It would have started as an
S4, B5.
Which is the saloon.
Yeah.
But it's had like the wider arches put in that it would have had if it was like an RS4. And it's just sat so perfectly. And it's got pole positions in the front. And then there's like grafted in two pole position bucket seats into the back seat. So it's almost like the M3 CRT type thing.
Yeah, so cool.
Or the M5 CS. And oh God. And I just thought, all I have is images in my head of those cars launching on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
Anti-lag and then launching down the road.
With a Polish plate or something. And you're like, this has 1,000 brake, doesn't it?
An 8-second video.
Yeah.
nothing really, like the dashboard doesn't work probably and nothing else works, but it is got 1,800 horsepower or something. I would like to own something like that.
Yeah. So maybe some Audis in the future and an Alfa for Ben.
Sure.
I think we will wrap it up there. We need to go and film another podcast now. So if we're dressed the same next week, you'll have to ignore that. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Cream Podcast. Shout out. We will see you next week. Shout out the Creamers.
In about 5 minutes.
Creams. Mm-hmm.